Hello and welcome to the Top 5, where we preview the week ahead and try to whittle things down to just five main points to focus on in the week ahead. So let's firstly see where we are at the moment. We're at a three-week high at the moment on markets. It's been a very busy few weeks for us, but next week is going to be much quieter on the scheduled company and also economic data front, both in Australia and also overseas. And maybe we'll provide the market a bit of a breather as far as major data is concerned. But still, as I said, the Aussie market at the best levels it's been at in weeks. July has historically, over the past decade at least, been a decent month for our market. In fact, we've improved 8 of the past 10 Julys as the new financial year kicks in. But let's look at the top five. Number one will be the coronavirus. Now, over the past week, Victoria has continued to be a bit of a trouble spot. It's led to authorities there putting 10 postcodes, that's 36 suburbs, into lockdown. And this means that they can only leave their homes for very specific reasons, like going to work, going to school, buying essential items from the shops, medical assistance, or exercising as well. In other states and territories, things are looking a little better, of course, than Victoria, but it still is an area to watch. We had one case coming through from Victoria to New South Wales in the past couple of days, and this gentleman ended up going to work at a supermarket. He then tested positive, and this has led to 50 people being put in isolation. So there's an expectation here that even if things do get worse, it's unlikely to result in authorities putting the same level of restrictions in place to try and contain the virus, like we saw a couple of months ago. But still, obviously, if things do get much worse, you would imagine that it would still take some measures to contain things. So obviously, that can have a negative impact. And each week, each day, each month that goes by where we still have coronavirus cases and no vaccine, and we're not seeing things back to normal, obviously that impacts a number of industries like retail, tourism, education, and many more as well. Number two will be the Reserve Bank board meeting. Now, the RBA will meet on Tuesday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll make a decision on monetary policy, and this includes a decision on what to do with interest rates. Now, we're unlikely to see any major changes here. Rates already essentially at zero. The RBA is already doing a lot to basically try and stimulate the economy. But at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the governor always releases a one-page statement that is released on the website. And it's important because in this statement, one-page document, he outlines basically his thinking about the Aussie economy, about the global economy, why rates are where they are at the moment. And while it's quite guarded in the commentary and the wording, economists pay very close attention to this document for even the smallest changes in this statement from month to month. So this can provide hints as to how confident he is and what's likely to come up ahead. So there's a chance that it could be slightly more upbeat in this particular statement, particularly because we've had a relative success in the kickstarting of the economy again. So if he's more upbeat, if he's bullish about the economy, that could push the Aussie dollar perhaps a touch higher. Number three will be the thick 6,000 point level. Now, what I mean by this is that the ASX 200 is above 6,000 points. And for those who don't know, the ASX 200 is basically an index. It's a number that represents how the 200 largest companies on the Aussie market are performing at any given time. And when it gets close to these big thousands round numbers, you tend to see markets hesitating a bit because it can act as a bit of a strong level of resistance. And at the moment, for the last couple of days, we've had that ASX 200 remaining above 6,000 points. So that is going to be important to see if it can remain above that level next week or if we're going to fade back below 6,000, which has been the case in recent months. Now, volumes have been a little on the light side in the past week, and what this can represent and signify is that there's a lack of eagerness and enthusiasm on the way up by buyers. But keep in mind that we are in the middle of school holidays, which will last for the next 2 weeks essentially across the country, and that means that volumes can be a little on the light side as well. Number four will be job ads, and this will be out for the month of June on Monday. So generally, when it comes to jobs, what economists pay most close attention to is a monthly update on jobs growth, which looks at how many jobs were added or lost and what the unemployment rate is sitting at. But this report's also important. It will be out on Monday, as I said, at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it outlines the change in the number of jobs that were advertised online and also in newspapers, which of course, advertising is one of the first steps which will eventually lead to hiring a number of months down the track. Now, this is a timely guide as to whether or not hiring intentions have reached a low and they're picking up a bit. So the difficulty with these numbers though is that businesses have started to hire in recent years in different ways. LinkedIn, for example, recruiters might go directly to LinkedIn and try to find candidates that way, and that can make it difficult to get a really clear idea of what employment employment is looking like as far as hiring intentions go, but it still does receive attention. And finally, number five will be a weekly update on consumer confidence. Now, this might not usually make this list, but as I said, there's a lack of real meaningful data out in the next week. So each Tuesday morning, ANZ and Roy Morgan, they put together this, they released this survey on Tuesday. It's based on around 1,500 interviews of consumers, and they're asked five questions specifically about their finances and also the economy. And basically the questions ask if they think they're better or worse off now than they were a year ago, and also looking forward if they think they'll be better or worse off 12 months from now or 5 years from now than they are at the moment as well. That's important because there's quite a close relationship between consumer confidence, how confident we all are with our money, and also spending. And the more confident we all are, obviously the more likely we are to go out there and actually spend, and the more fearful, the more cautious, the less likely we are to go and part with our dollars. So that's why that receives plenty of attention, and it will again next week. Enjoy the week ahead.